In the dim glow of your car's headlights, what lurks in the shadows of desolate roadways? This episode of AI Nightmares drives you down the forsaken paths where time seems to blur and reality twists. From shadowy figures lurking on the fringes of dark forests to eerily out-of-place diners serving patrons from bygone eras, here, the familiar hum of an engine and the open road can quickly turn into a journey of perpetual dread. As the horizon stretches endlessly ahead, be wary of the glint in the rearview mirror, the mysterious call from abandoned phone booths, or the beguiling allure of forgotten roadside attractions. Strap in, dear listener, for a ride down roads less traveled, where the unknown awaits at every twist and turn. But a word of caution: on these roads, not all who wander are lost. Some are forever trapped in a chilling embrace of the unknown. Drive with us, if you dare, into the heart of darkness. Welcome to AI Nightmares. Tale 1, Bridge to Nowhere. Greyhaven was an isolated town, caught between the vast wilderness and the long stretch of the lonely highway. Its residents were few, and seldom did strangers venture here, especially as night approached. Julian, a traveler with a penchant for exploring less trodden paths, drove into Greyhaven just as the sun dipped below the horizon. He planned to rest for the night and continue his journey at dawn. But at the local inn, the elderly innkeeper gave him an unsolicited piece of advice. "If you're heading west, avoid the old stone bridge. Stick to the main road." "Why?" Julian inquired, intrigued. "Some roads aren't meant to be traveled, especially not that one," the innkeeper replied cryptically. Night had settled, but Julian's curiosity got the better of him. Taking a detour, he soon found himself in front of the old stone bridge the innkeeper had warned him about. It was an alluring structure, archaic with an air of forgotten history. The calm water underneath mirrored the starry sky, creating an almost surreal landscape. Ignoring the warning, Julian decided to cross. But as he reached the midpoint, an impenetrable fog rolled in. His car's headlights barely pierced the white curtain, and the night grew eerily silent. Suddenly, the car sputtered and died. In the silence, Julian heard soft whispers. Turning, he saw shadowy figures emerging from the fog. Dressed in outdated garments, they floated rather than walked, their faces pale, eyes hollow. A chilling realization hit him. These were the souls of those who had ventured onto the bridge and never returned. One by one, they reached out to him, their touch icy, their whispers growing louder, filling his ears, consuming his mind. "Join us," they chanted in unison. Julian wanted to flee, but his feet felt rooted to the spot. The fog thickened, the figures drew closer, and Julian's world narrowed. The last thing he saw before darkness claimed him was the mesmerizing dance of the shadows and the endless expanse of the bridge ahead. The next morning, a local passing by noticed a car abandoned on the bridge. The town whispered about another soul claimed by the Bridge to Nowhere. And in Greyhaven's Inn, the innkeeper sighed, adding another tale to the long list of those ensnared by the bridge's timeless trap. "For those who venture to Greyhaven and hear of the bridge, heed the warnings. Some paths, once taken, offer no return." Tale 2, Night Whispers. Route 44, stretching through the vast expanse of desert, was known for two things: its desolate beauty and the unsettling legends that plagued it. Stories of travelers hearing incoherent whispers in the night were whispered among locals and ignored by most outsiders. Jasmine, a journalist, was intrigued by these tales and decided to drive down Route 44 after dusk, recording devices at the ready. With the windows down and the radio off, she cruised along, hoping to capture the elusive whispers for her story. Miles passed without incident. The desert was a silent witness to her journey. Just as she began to doubt the legends, a soft murmur grazed her ears. It grew louder, forming distinguishable words: "Turn back, not safe, leave." Chills ran down Jasmine's spine. She checked her devices, but they showed no evidence of the eerie sounds. Was she imagining it? She decided to pull over, stepping out of her car with a flashlight, aiming to find the source. The wind carried more whispers, now sounding like a chorus of voices, each more desperate than the last. Go, hurry, danger nears. Suddenly, her flashlight beam landed on a figure standing a few meters away, a gaunt, shadowy figure with eyes that gleamed menacingly in the dark. The whispers grew louder, echoing the warning, but they felt different now, not menacing, but protective, urging her to flee. Achoo! Jasmine jumped into her car, accelerating away as fast as she could. Looking back through her rearview mirror, she saw multiple shadowy figures emerging, all converging where she had just stood, their presence accompanied by an unsettling silence. When she finally reached safety at the nearest town, Jasmine learned of an old tale. Route 44 was the site of a terrible accident decades ago, where a bus full of passengers met a tragic end. Those whispers? They were believed to be the spirits of the passengers, forever bound to that stretch of road, warning travelers of the lurking danger that claimed them. Jasmine's recordings remained empty, but she knew what she had heard. Every night after, in the stillness of her room, she'd sometimes hear the faintest whisper, reminding her of the night on Route 44. For those who travel desolate roadways, sometimes the warnings from the beyond are the only thing standing between you and the unseen dangers of the night. Tale 3, Lonely Gas Station. Evan, on a solo cross-country road trip, was driving on a desolate stretch of Route 13. The sun was setting, casting long shadows on the cracked asphalt, and his fuel gauge was dangerously close to empty. Panic began to set in. He hadn't seen another vehicle or establishment for miles. Then, like a mirage, an old gas station appeared ahead, its rusted sign creaking in the wind. Relieved, Evan pulled up to the station. Its decayed exterior, peeling paint, and antiquated pumps should have been a warning, but desperation overruled his better judgment. He walked into the dimly lit shop to pay. Behind the counter stood an old man, skin like tanned leather, entirely toothless, and with eyes so black they seemed to swallow the light. His voice was a gravelly whisper when he said, "Running low, are ya?" Evan, unsettled, handed over some money, eager to fill his tank and leave. As the pump whirred outside, Evan noticed a door ajar at the back of the shop. Through the narrow opening, he caught a glimpse of something horrifying, shelves lined with glass jars, and inside each jar, a human head, eyes forever frozen in a look of terror. His heart raced. He had to leave. Now. But his car was still filling up. "Interesting collection you've got there," Evan said, feigning casual interest. The old man followed his gaze and chuckled, a sound that sent shivers down Evan's spine. "Keepsakes from my travels. They tried to leave, just like you will. But this station is hungry, always needing more." Evan's mind raced. He could sprint to his car, but what if it didn't start? "What do you want?" he asked. "Just company," the old man replied, eyes fixed intently on Evan. "Lonely out here." As the pump clicked off, signaling a full tank, Evan bolted for his car. The old man, surprisingly swift, lunged towards him. But Evan managed to slam the door, start the engine, and speed away. The old gas station soon disappeared in the rearview mirror, but not from Evan's nightmare. For weeks after, he would jolt awake, those black eyes haunting his dreams, always with the echoing whisper, "Lonely out here." Travelers, when on desolate roadways, beware the places that seem out of time. And remember, not all who wander are lost, some are trapped, forever waiting for the next unsuspecting soul. Tale 4, Desert Lights. The desert stretch of Route 44 was known for its vast, unbroken expanses, and also, if locals were to be believed, for something much more inexplicable. But for Dana and Chris, two college friends road tripping across the country, local legends were just that, legends. It was nearing midnight when Dana first spotted the lights in the distance. A kaleidoscope of shimmering colors, they danced and flickered just beyond the horizon. "Must be a festival or something," she remarked, the dry desert wind whipping through the car's open windows. But Chris wasn't convinced. "Out here, miles away from civilization? Doesn't make sense." Curiosity piqued, they decided to detour, following the mesmerizing display. But the closer they got, the more the desert around them seemed to change. The air grew colder, the sand beneath their tires felt different, and an eerie silence enveloped everything. Suddenly, a blinding light enveloped the car. Dana screamed as the world spun and shifted around them. And then, darkness. They awoke in the car, the sun blazing down on them. Confused and parched, they tried to piece together what had happened. But their memories from the previous night were hazy, fragmented. Hours, perhaps even days, were unaccounted for. Their phones showed a date 3 days later than they last remembered. It was only when they tried to sleep that night that the terrifying truth began to unveil itself. In Dana's nightmares, she saw herself on a cold metal table, strange beings with elongated eyes and limbs hovering over her, examining her like a lab specimen. Chris experienced the same chillingly vivid dreams, probing instruments, cold, unfeeling hands, and a sense of helplessness. They never spoke of their shared nightmares, each thinking they were alone in their trauma. But they both felt a lingering dread, an unshakable feeling of being watched. Years passed, and the incident on Route 44 became a distant, albeit unsettling, memory. But one clear night, as Dana stood on her balcony, she noticed a familiar dance of lights on the horizon. A cold dread gripped her as an inaudible whisper urged her to follow, to seek the truth she had long tried to bury. Travelers, beware of the allure of the unknown, for there are mysteries in the vast, desolate roadways that man is not meant to uncover. Sometimes, the road less traveled holds secrets that are best left undiscovered. Tale 5. The Woman in White. The tale of the woman in white is whispered from one corner of the world to the other. Few believe it to be more than just a myth, a story to spook friends on long nighttime drives. Jacob was one of those non-believers until that fateful night. Driving home through a winding, desolate road, Jacob's headlights caught a pale figure standing by the roadside. Her long white dress flowed eerily in the wind, and without a second thought, he pulled over, thinking someone was in distress. She silently slid into the passenger seat, her face obscured by a curtain of long white hair. From that moment, everything changed for Jacob. The morning after their encounter, Jacob awoke to a world where all food was tasteless. No matter what he tried, it was bland, as if the very essence of life had been stolen from his tongue. Panic surged the next day when Jacob realized he couldn't feel anything. It was as if an invisible shield had enveloped his body, disconnecting him from the world. The third day brought an eerie, deafening silence. He couldn't hear the wind, the chirping of birds, or even the rhythmic thumping of his own heart. His vision began to deteriorate on the fourth day, as if a suffocating fog was slowly dimming the world around him, leaving him blind by nightfall. By the fifth day, his memories had begun to evaporate. Faces of loved ones, childhood memories, all vanished into an abyss of forgetfulness. The sixth day was perhaps the most tormenting as, isolated from the world and robbed of all senses, Jacob's mind began to unravel. Reality and nightmares became indistinguishable, and his thoughts were consumed by haunting visions and whispers from the shadows. On the final day, there was a palpable chill in the air, a signal that she had come for the final piece, his soul. The next morning, he was discovered as nothing more than an empty husk, eyes vacant and devoid of life. The woman in white continues her haunting journey, looking for the next unsuspecting traveler. Sightings of her have spanned continents, from highways in the US to lonely paths in Asia. So the next time you're on a desolate road and you spot a lonely figure in white, think twice before slowing down. The legend might be truer than you think. Tale 6. Never-ending Tunnel. Middletown, a quaint yet nondescript town, had always been surrounded by a myriad of urban legends. From tales of ghostly apparitions to cursed landmarks, almost every old-timer had a spooky tale to share. But among all the tales, the most unsettling was the story of the Never-Ending Tunnel. Roughly a few miles outside of Middletown, Route 33 curved into a tunnel known as the Middletown Passage. The entrance, marked by graffiti and wear from time, always had a damp, cold feel. It was said that any car that entered the tunnel after midnight would never reach the other side. Samantha, a travel blogger in her late 20s, had recently moved to Middletown. Intrigued by the legend, she decided to test it out herself. "It's probably just a story made up to keep the kids away," she reasoned. But deep inside, the very idea made her heart race. On the chosen night, she parked her car just outside the tunnel's entrance, waiting for the clock to strike midnight. Armed with her trusty camera, a flashlight, and a dash cam recording everything, she was ready. As the minute hand moved to 12, she took a deep breath, switched on her car's headlights, and slowly drove into the tunnel. The walls inside were much like the entrance, graffiti covered and damp. But a few yards in, the graffiti became less frequent, replaced by black soot-like stains. The atmosphere felt thick and heavy, and a low hum seemed to resonate from the walls, as though the tunnel itself was alive and breathing. Minutes felt like hours. Samantha's car showed she had been driving for 20 minutes, but the other end was nowhere in sight. She checked her GPS, but it flickered aimlessly, lost. She tried calling a friend, but had no signal. A wave of unease settled over her. Remembering the stories, she wondered if she should turn around. But before she could decide, her headlights illuminated something in the distance. Squinting, she could make out a silhouette of a person standing in the middle of the road. The figure, a man, was dressed in old, tattered clothes. His head drooped forward, obscuring his face. As she approached him, slowly, her car's radio, which had been playing soft music, began to crackle and hiss. Out of the static emerged a voice, raspy and almost inhuman, "Turn back." Samantha's heart pounded against her chest. Panic surged through her. She considered reversing her car, but the narrowness of the tunnel made it almost impossible. With bated breath, she decided to drive past the figure, hoping he wouldn't react. But as she approached him, her car sputtered and died. The headlights blinked out, plunging her into darkness, save for the dim light from her dashboard. The hum in the tunnel grew louder, almost suffocating. In desperation, she turned the key, trying to restart her car. On the third try, the engine roared to life. But when her headlights came on, the figure was right in front of her, his face inches from her windshield. His skin was ashen, eyes hollow, but his mouth twisted into a mournful scream, though no sound came out. Terrified, Samantha slammed on the accelerator. The car lurched forward. She didn't stop to see if she had hit him. She just drove as fast as she could, the hum now a piercing shriek in her ears. After what felt like hours, she saw light at the end. The tunnel was finally coming to an end. Relief washed over her. But as she neared the exit, her surroundings began to blur. The light became too bright to bear, almost blinding her. Then, in an instant, everything went silent. The hum, the shriek, the blinding light all disappeared. Samantha found herself at the entrance of the tunnel. The clock on her dashboard read 01 a.m. Only a minute had passed since she entered. Trembling, she drove back to her home in Middletown, swearing never to venture near that tunnel again. The next day, she reviewed her dashcam footage, hoping to make sense of what had happened. But to her shock, the recording showed her entering the tunnel and emerging a minute later. None of the terrifying events of the previous night were there. But as she replayed the tape, she noticed something chilling. Just as her car entered the tunnel, a faint whisper could be heard saying, "Welcome back." The legend of the never-ending tunnel still stands, a testament to the eerie mysteries that surround Middletown. Many avoid the tunnel, especially after dark, while others, drawn by morbid curiosity, disappear, only to emerge a minute later, their memories haunted by the endless stretch of that desolate roadway. Tale 7, The Forest's Edge. The stretch of highway known as Windham Road was as notorious as it was unavoidable. Leading travelers through the heart of the country, it took them on a direct course alongside the old Grover Forest. And it was precisely the last few miles of this forest, where thick trees crowded the road, that evoked the most fear. Liam and Sarah, a couple on a road trip, found themselves on this very route late one evening. Although the darkness was intensified by a lack of streetlights, the moonlight filtered in, offering an eerie glow that barely outlined the trees. They'd heard stories of the Wyndham Road and the old Grover Forest, but neither took them too seriously. Legends of ghostly apparitions and nightmarish creatures were simply tales passed down to scare the adventurous souls. "It's just a forest, Sarah," Liam had remarked with a nonchalant laugh. "People have such wild imaginations." However, as they drove further down the road, they couldn't ignore the ominous feeling that enveloped them. The forest seemed alive, pulsating with an energy that was palpable. The silhouettes of trees appeared to morph into twisted figures, and the deeper they ventured, the denser and more chaotic the woods became. Sarah, feeling a growing unease, began to recall a tale she'd heard about creatures that stalked these woods, creatures that lured unsuspecting travelers into the forest, never to be seen again. The descriptions varied. Some claimed they were wraith-like, others said they had grotesque, gnarled features resembling trees. But all agreed on one detail: their hollow eyes, which shone with an unnatural light, were hypnotic and inescapable. She tried to push the thoughts out of her mind, attributing her discomfort to fatigue. Yet, every so often she thought she saw movement just beyond the reach of the headlights. A shadow here, a figure there. It was almost like they were being watched. Liam tried to keep the mood light, turning on the radio. But all they got was static. The dense forest seemed to consume all signs of civilization. Suddenly, the car's headlights flickered and dimmed before illuminating a creature in the middle of the road, unlike anything they'd ever seen. It was a grotesque blend of tree and human, its body twisted and gnarled. Hollow eyes gleamed eerily as it stared at them, and for a brief moment, everything stood still. Sarah screamed, breaking the trance. Liam swerved the car, narrowly missing the creature, and accelerated away. The forest became even more oppressive, with shadows closing in on both sides. It felt like the trees were reaching out, attempting to pull them into the dark abyss. The road started to deteriorate, becoming a mere dirt track. With every turn, more creatures emerged, forcing Liam to drive erratically to avoid them. Sarah could barely catch her breath, the weight of terror pressing on her chest. "We need to get out of here," she screamed. "Just hold on," Liam shouted back, but even he was starting to lose hope. After what felt like hours, the forest began to thin, revealing a more familiar landscape. The creatures faded away, and the oppressive air lifted. Both gasping for breath, they emerged from the forest's edge and onto a clear road. Sarah looked at Liam, her eyes wide with fear. "What was that?" "Those things. They were." "Let's not think about it. We're out. We're safe," Liam interrupted. They continued driving in silence, too traumatized to speak. But as they approached a gas station, Sarah's heart sank. There, in the window, she saw a reflection, not of their car, but of the forest. The creatures, with their hollow eyes, stared back at her. Word soon spread of their harrowing experience, adding to the many tales surrounding Wyndham Road. No one knows if the creatures are real or mere figments of travelers' imagination. But one thing's for sure, many who travel down that desolate roadway are never the same again. It's said that even in broad daylight, if you listen closely, you can hear faint whispers coming from the old Grover Forest, beckoning travelers to the forest's edge. So if you ever find yourself on Wyndham Road, drive quickly and don't look too closely at the trees lining the road. For in the shadows, they wait, and one glance might be all it takes to be drawn into the nightmarish world of the old Grover Forest. Tale 8, The Out-of-Place Diner. It was past midnight when Claire found herself on an unfamiliar stretch of road. She had been driving for hours, attempting to shake off the stress from a difficult week. The road was long, winding, and seemed to lead nowhere. Her car's fuel gauge blinked, warning her of the dwindling gas. She was desperate to find a stop, even if just for a moment, to gather her bearings. Suddenly, like a beacon in the wilderness, the neon lights of a diner flickered to life up ahead. The sign read, "Sullivan's, open 24 hours." Claire sighed in relief. The exterior of the diner had a 50s charm to it, with chrome edges, checkerboard patterns, and a line of classic stools visible through the windows. Upon entering, Claire was greeted with the soft hum of conversation and laughter. The diner was unusually busy for such a late hour. Its patrons sat in booths and at the counter, enjoying their meals, lost in chatter. She observed the peculiar dress of the diners, poodle skirts, zoot suits, and fedoras. It felt as if she had stepped into a different era. She took a seat at an empty booth and glanced at the menu. It listed dishes she had never heard of, like Spam Delight and Victory Garden Salad. When the waitress approached, Claire remarked about the unusual choices. The waitress, a woman named Edna as per her name tag, replied with a warm chuckle, "Honey, these are classics, just like the good old times." Claire ordered a sandwich and some coffee, her attention now fixed on a vintage jukebox near the entrance. It played soft tunes that she vaguely recognized from her grandparents' stories. She watched couples dance with an old-world charm, their steps precise and elegant. As she waited, Claire tried to strike up conversations with the patrons around her. She soon realized that their stories were distinctly out of place. One gentleman, dressed in a sharp suit and bow tie, mentioned the recent end of the war and his plans to go home. A woman in the next booth whispered about the Prohibition and where to get the best moonshine. Growing more uncomfortable by the minute, Claire began to piece together the chilling truth. The diner and its patrons seemed to be suspended in time. While they appeared normal, they spoke of events and periods that spanned decades, all prior to Claire's time. Her food arrived, and Claire tried to shake off her unease. However, every bite tasted bland and stale. The coffee was cold. Pushing her plate aside, she attempted to leave. But Edna, with an expression of concern, stopped her. "You can't leave on an empty stomach, dear. Let me get you something else." Claire, anxious to leave the diner, politely declined and made her way to the door. She was almost out when the jukebox suddenly stopped, causing the entire diner to fall silent. The previously cheerful patrons turned to stare at her with vacant expressions, their eyes hollow. Feeling a growing panic, Claire pushed through the exit and raced to her car. The once vibrant neon lights of the diner flickered ominously. She fumbled with her keys, and just as the engine roared to life, a shadowed figure approached her window. It was Edna. But this was not the cheerful waitress Claire had met inside. This Edna looked haggard and aged, her skin sagging and pale. "You shouldn't have come here," she whispered, her voice raspy and strained. "Time doesn't work right at Sullivan's. Now you're a part of it too." Claire floored the gas pedal, leaving the diner and its ghostly patrons in her rearview mirror. She drove without stopping until the sun rose and the familiar landscapes of her city came into view. Shaken, she eventually shared her story with friends, who were quick to dismiss it as fatigue or an overactive imagination. However, a quick search revealed a long-abandoned plot of land where she claimed Sullivan stood. History spoke of a diner from the 50s, which had mysteriously burned down with many patrons inside. Over the next few days, Claire couldn't shake off the feelings of dread. She'd often hear soft 50s tunes playing in the background, or catch a glimpse of a shadowed figure in her peripheral vision. One evening, as she sat down for dinner, she found a menu next to her plate, identical to the one at Sullivan's. On it was a handwritten note, "We're waiting for you, dear." Despite her best efforts to escape the memory of that night, Sullivan's diner seemed to have claimed her. The lines between reality and the nightmarish diner began to blur until Claire could no longer tell them apart. And so, travelers often whisper about a mysterious diner on a desolate road. Sullivan's, where time stands still, and once you step in, you might never truly leave. If you ever find yourself on a lonely road, be wary of where you stop, for some places have a way of ensnaring you forever. Tale 9, The Castle of Bones. Patricia's heart raced as she recalled the events of the previous day. It was supposed to be a fun road trip, a chance to explore unknown highways with her four closest friends, David, Anna, Marco, and Lena. But it had turned into a nightmare. They had been driving along a desolate stretch of highway when a large, ornate sign caught their attention. The Castle of Bones, world's rarest sight, Intrigued by the mysterious name and eager for a break from the monotonous drive, they decided to check it out. As they approached the castle, they marveled at its intricate architecture. It looked ancient, with high stone walls and sharp, Gothic spires. But there was something off about it. Instead of bricks and mortar, the castle seemed to be constructed from bones. Everything from the entry gates to the walls and the artwork inside appeared to be made from the skeletal remains of countless creatures. Despite the eerie setting, a charismatic guide welcomed them, introducing himself as Nathaniel. He was tall, pale, with oddly elongated fingers, and a voice that was almost hypnotic. They joined a small group of tourists, and the tour began. The interior of the castle was even more unsettling than the exterior. Display cases showcased skeletal remains of animals they couldn't recognize. There were sculptures, seemingly crafted from bones, displaying an artistry that was both impressive and disturbing. As they delved deeper into the castle, Patricia felt a growing sense of unease. The group was led to a grand chamber, at the center of which was a large table set for a feast. Nathaniel announced that they were the guests of honor and would be treated to a special meal. Before Patricia could question the oddity of it all, a thick, sweet-smelling mist filled the room. Her vision blurred, and everything went dark. She awoke in a dimly lit cell, her head pounding. Panicking, she called out for her friends but heard no response. Moments later, Nathaniel appeared, his face twisted into a sinister smile. Behind him were what looked like mutated members of his family, their features distorted, eyes gleaming with hunger. Patricia gathered that the castle was a trap. Travelers were lured in, sedated, and then harvested. The mutated family fed on the flesh and used the bones for their grotesque art. The realization was paralyzing, but Patricia knew she had to act. Over the next few hours, she carefully observed her captors and formulated a plan. Using the sharp edge of a bone fragment she found in her cell, she managed to pick the lock and slowly, quietly made her way through the castle's labyrinthine corridors. The hallways were filled with muffled cries and whispers. Patricia stumbled upon a chamber filled with fresh sculptures, eerily lifelike poses of terror and pain. She recognized them. David, Anna, Marco and Lena. They had been turned into art, their skeletal structures manipulated and posed in ways that would have been impossible if they were alive. Tears streamed down Patricia's face as she realized the fate of her friends. But she couldn't let their deaths be in vain. She had to warn others. Eating the family became a game of cat and mouse. Using her wits and knowledge from the tour, she set traps and managed to incapacitate a few of the family members. But as she neared the exit, Nathaniel appeared, blocking her path. A tense standoff ensued, with Patricia brandishing her bone fragment as a weapon. In a final act of desperation, she threw it at a nearby chandelier, bringing it crashing down on Nathaniel and buying her the precious seconds she needed to escape. Once outside, she ran without looking back, not stopping until she reached the main road. She flagged down a passing vehicle, her voice trembling as she relayed her horrifying experience. The police were skeptical, but an investigation was launched. When they reached the location Patricia described, all they found was an empty plot of land. No castle, no bones, no evidence of any of the horrors Patricia had witnessed. But Patricia knew the truth. She was left with the haunting memories of her friends and the twisted art of the Castle of Bones. To this day, she travels, warning others of the roadside attraction's dangers. She knows that the castle is out there, waiting for its next unsuspecting visitors. And as the sun sets and darkness blankets the roads, she urges travelers everywhere to be cautious. Because in the shadows, danger may lurk, ready to add you to its macabre collection. Tale 10, The Underpass Entity. James had always been skeptical about local legends. He was a man of science, facts, and logic. Everyone in town knew about the infamous underpass. Parents warned their children, and even adults preferred to take a longer route to avoid it. They whispered tales of a dark entity that lurked in its shadows, preying on unsuspecting vehicles. The night was clear and cold, stars speckling the inky sky. James's friends, Tom and Sarah, opted to stay at the entrance of the underpass, citing they were there to verify his completion of the dare. He smirked, waved them off, and revved his car engine. He would drive through, wave his flashlight at the other end, and drive back. Easy. As he approached the entrance, he noted how the underpass, though essentially a simple tunnel, gave off an aura of forbidding darkness. It was as if the tunnel was consuming all light and sound. Shrugging off the uneasy feeling, he entered. Midway, his headlights began to flicker. James fiddled with the switches, muttering under his breath about the bad timing. As his car crept further into the underpass, the headlights went off completely. Only the faint light from the dashboard provided any illumination. The weight of the darkness pressed against him, and the silence was deafening. Suddenly, a soft whisper slid through the silence. It was a melody, like a lullaby, but not comforting. Instead, it was eerie and seemed to come from every direction. The car's dashboard light started to dim, giving way to a more profound blackness. James's logical mind raced. It had to be an echo or perhaps wind. Trying to regain control, he decided to turn the car around and head back. But the vehicle wouldn't respond. The engine revved, but it remained stationary. Panic slowly crept in. He felt trapped, watched. Suddenly, a face appeared on the passenger window. It was not human. Its eyes were endless pits of black, its skin pale and taut over sharp cheekbones, and its mouth was a thin line. But as James watched, the mouth started to stretch into a grotesque smile, revealing rows of jagged yellow teeth. He tried to scream, but no sound came out. The entity started to glide around the car, its fingers, long and bony, tapping on the windows. Each tap echoed in the claustrophobic space of the car. The whispers grew louder, forming words that seemed to say, "Join us." Desperate, James remembered the flashlight. He grabbed it, turned it on, and shone it directly at the entity's face. There was a screeching sound, and the creature momentarily disappeared. Seizing his chance, James managed to restart the car and speed out of the underpass. Tom and Sarah, seeing the car's headlights emerge at an unusually high speed, jumped to their feet. James screeched to a halt, jumped out, and began to frantically explain his encounter. Breathless and terrified, he described the face, the whispers, the tapping. Sarah, a look of horror on her face, whispered, "The underpass entity. The stories were true." Tom, visibly pale, nodded, adding, "It said that it tries to trap you, make you one of them, one of the lost souls." The trio decided to leave immediately. But as they drove away, James glanced in the rearview mirror and froze. The face, with its soulless eyes and menacing smile, appeared once more, fading slowly as they got further from the underpass. The encounter left James traumatized. He moved away shortly after, desperate to escape the memories of that night. But he couldn't escape the nightmares. Every night, he would find himself back in the underpass, the whispers getting louder, the face closer. And then, one fateful night, James disappeared. His car was found at the entrance of the Millwood Underpass, engine running, headlights shining into the tunnel's abyss. But of James, there was no trace. To this day, locals avoid the underpass, especially at night, for they believe that James did join the entity, and if you listen closely amongst the whispered lullabies, you can hear a familiar voice beckoning you to join them. And every so often, lone vehicles, drivers compelled by some unknown force, enter the underpass, never to emerge again. And tonight, we will be providing you with one bonus tale. Tale 11, Last Call Booth. James, a seasoned travel journalist, often ventured to lesser-known destinations. His most recent assignment was to write about the ghost roads of America, covering highways and routes that were nearly abandoned due to newer infrastructure, urban myths, or strange occurrences. His research brought him to the barren stretch of Route 11, which ran through the heart of the Mojave Desert. A highway once filled with hopeful travelers now remained deserted, its stories long forgotten. One particular legend stood out, the tale of the Last Call Booth, an old phone booth, seemingly out of place and time, stood in the middle of the desert. According to locals, the booth would ring occasionally, and if a passerby answered, they'd either vanish or be forever changed. James, ever the skeptic, was keen on debunking this myth. The plan was to camp near the booth overnight, waiting for the rumored call. After driving for hours, he finally spotted it. A lone booth, its paint chipped and weathered by time, stood eerily under the setting sun. The juxtaposition of the booth against the vast desert was undeniably unsettling. Still, James set up camp. As night fell, the desert came alive with the sounds of nocturnal creatures. James sat by his campfire, pen and notepad ready, eyes fixed on the booth. Hours ticked by with no activity. Around 3 a.m., as sleep threatened to overtake him, the shrill ring of the phone cut through the night. Startled, James grabbed his flashlight, approaching the booth. He hesitated momentarily, remembering the legends, but his skepticism prevailed. Taking a deep breath, he answered, "Hello?" Jin said. Silence. Then a soft voice responded, "You shouldn't have answered." Confused, James tried to speak, but the voice continued, "Look to the road, James." Turning his flashlight towards Route 11, he saw them. Figures, neither living nor ghostly, but stuck somewhere in between, their eyes hollow and bodies emaciated. They stood still, staring directly at James. Their presence felt like a weight on his chest. Panicking, James dropped the receiver and backed away. The voice on the other end grew louder, echoing in the still night. "You've heard our call. Now you're one of us." James sprinted to his car, desperately trying to start it. After what felt like eternity, the engine roared to life, and he sped away, leaving behind the cursed phone booth. Over the next few days, James couldn't shake off the feeling of being watched. He felt an inexplicable urge to return to the booth, the voice's words haunting him. Sleep was elusive, and when he did drift off, he was met with nightmares of the ghostly figures. Desperate to rid himself of this curse, he returned to Middletown to speak to the locals. An old woman, known as the town's historian, agreed to meet him. "You answered the booth," she said before James could explain. Her tone was not of surprise, but resignation. "I did," James admitted, "and I need to know how to break its curse." She sighed. "The legend says that those who answer are bound to the spirits of the desert, souls who've met their fate on Route 11. They're trapped, seeking others to join them." James felt despair. "So, there's no hope for me?" The historian looked at him sadly. "There might be one way. Legends speak of a ritual, a way to appease the restless spirits, but it's risky. Many have tried, few have succeeded." Desperation outweighed his fear. Following her instructions, James found himself back at the booth at midnight, a circle of salt around him, candles illuminating the inky darkness. The ritual was simple: answer the call, listen to the soul's tales without interruption, and offer them a heartfelt farewell. Only then would they release him. As the phone rang, James steeled himself. He answered and listened. Hours passed as countless voices shared their tragic tales. As the last story ended, he whispered, "I wish you peace." The desert, once filled with eerie whispers, fell silent. Relief washed over James. He had done it. As dawn approached, he packed up and headed home, the weight lifted. However, as months turned to years, James noticed a peculiar pattern. Every time he picked up a phone, he'd hear faint whispers, echoes of the stories he'd heard that fateful night. The voices grew louder, more insistent, eventually drowning out any other calls. Distraught, James decided to return to the booth one last time. He found it, but this time, it was silent, no ringing, no whispers. With a heavy heart, he entered the booth, picked up the receiver, and as he did, he vanished. Years later, travelers on Route 11 occasionally speak of a lone phone booth in the desert. Some, driven by curiosity, would approach, and if they dared to pick up its ringing receiver, they'd hear a familiar voice among the chorus of tragic tales, the voice of a travel journalist named James. He would speak of his skepticism, of the haunting figures, of the desperation to rid himself of the curse, and of his final visit to the booth. His voice would tremble as he'd plead, Do not make my mistakes. Hang up the phone. But just as with all the others, once you heard James's story, it would never leave you. Every phone call would be tainted with the echoes of the past, a never-ending reminder of the mysterious and cursed booth on Route 11. And so, the legend grows, passed down from traveler to traveler. A warning to all who traverse the desolate stretch of the Mojave Desert, beware the last call booth. For if you dare to answer, you may be its next storyteller, forever bound to its haunting legacy.
Congratulations, listeners. You have made it to the end of the road in our Desolate Roadways podcast episode. There were some creepy, creepy tales in this. It kind of makes you terrified to drive alone at night. And I have my daughter Anna here with me. Anna, heard some creepy things. I think, what was the one you said you really liked?
I think my favorite one was probably the one with the castle where...
The Castle of Bones
episode? Yeah, Castle of Bones, yeah.
It was kind
of
creepy, right?
Yeah.
Like a mutant. And I was weirded out by what AI did with the end of that, too. How they made it so that, like, when she returned to the spot, I was curious if it was trying to say, like, they weren't really there ever. Maybe it was, like, just some demonic entity or something that was there. I don't know. That story was a good one. That was one of my favorites. But some really good episodes on this tonight. Fun question for you, Anna, and then I'll answer too. If you had to imagine something that might be super creepy that you could experience on a dark and desolate roadway, what would you imagine?
Probably like seeing like yourself, and like if you're like going on like a drive and like you're walking and you're like going through the road and you just like, or if you're like on a road trip and you're like out late and you just see yourself like in the middle of it, that would be so creepy, knowing something that looks exactly like you. And
okay, so there are all sorts of horror stories around that theme, and they are called
doppelgangers. Yeah.
Yes, pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, my creepy thing, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Would be if you were driving down the road and then you're in like a dark wooded area and you see a tiny child run across the road, so you slam on your brakes and then you're freaking out because you're like, oh my gosh, where did this tiny child run off to? And you chase after them and you keep hearing them giggle and you're worried about them being alone in the woods, and you follow them until finally you come up on this wide tree, and when you get to the edge of the tree, it's this tiny looking child. But really, it has like dark black eyes, and you can tell it's like a demonic entity, and it says something horrifying like, you're mine now, or something like that. But being lured into the woods by something, that's always kind of a creepy thought. All right, so our AI tidbit this week is Adobe Firefly. Anna, have any of the images that we produce using AI really creeped you out at all? Are there any that stand out in your mind?
Just now I saw one with like, I just went on a walk with my mom, and so basically right before I went on a walk, I saw an image of the white woman like walking.
Oh yeah, we just generated the image of the white woman from these stories.
And I was like looking behind because I thought I heard like a car, and I was like, what's that?
Okay, so white woman creeped you out. Well, a lot of people were asking how we make this. Specifically, they were creeped out by Gideon the Clown from some of the stuff we had posted about Gideon the Clown. So what we're using to generate AI imagery for this is Adobe Firefly. If you don't have an Adobe account, another one that you can check out is called Midjourney. Another one is called DALL-E, which is kind of like the movie WALL-E. Combined with the artist Dolly, very creative. DALL-E is how you spell that. Those are three AI image generation tools. Generative AI is going to be huge. It's already starting to take off, and I think Adobe blew people's minds when they released the beta version of Adobe Firefly 2. So if you want to produce some incredible, incredible imagery, Adobe Firefly is the way to go. I believe that if you are a student, you can sign up for an Adobe account and generate up to 25 images a month for free. I believe that's what it was as of my last reading, but we all know how those things change. So if you want to play around with AI imagery and put your creativity to the test, really the way that it works, you just put a text prompt in and it generates some images. All right, Anna, I'm putting you on the spot. What's a weird thing that you could put into an AI image generator that might be ridiculous to look at?
Probably like a cat. It's probably something to do with like an animal. Like, for example, I saw one of yours and it was like a parrot, like eating an old lady's hair.
Yes, this is true. So do having an animal, the funniest animal one that I've seen, it was actually on an Adobe Firefly's main page, but it was a guinea pig riding a bicycle holding a tiny milkshake. And it actually turned out really realistic looking and it looked hilarious. So I agree. Some of the animal fun would be good. Hey, thank you guys for joining us. Hope you had a blast. Hope you were a little creeped out. And if you join us for the next episode, you will have a very short wait for the one after that, because we are developing a Halloween episode that is going to melt your mind.
It was my idea.
Yeah, it was Anna's idea, and the stories coming out of it are super duper creepy, really good all around things that happen on Halloween night. Hey, keep hanging with us. Our podcast will release every Friday at 3 a.m., the creepiest hour of the day. And the only variations to that will be if we do like a special bonus episode, which our Halloween episode will launch at 12:01 on October 31st. So stick with us. Enjoy these creepy tales.